Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership-funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
Upstage Surrey presents Giants of Science by Pip Rose.
Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Nurse. What do you have for me this evening?
Right, let me see. Where should I begin? We've got a concussion with bruising in Bay 2, brought in by ambulance. There's a chap who claims he's been tortured by the Catholic Church in Bay 3. I'm pretty sure the man in Bay 4 is pissed out of his head. He keeps saying he used to be a monkey.
A monkey?
Yes, and what's more, he says he was a monkey before he was born.
Oh dear.
And in Bay 5, we've got a chap the police brought in who was causing a commotion on a tram, shouting about his relatives and saying he's a time traveller.
Just an ordinary Saturday night after the pubs close, then.
I haven't talked about Bay 6 yet.
What's with Bay 6?
He thinks he's found the key to life, and we can't reason with him.
That all sounds rather a lot. Is there anyone else on tonight?
I'm afraid not. Dr. Kaczynski's off sick.
Oh dear, what's he got?
He did tell me, but I can't pronounce it.
Okay, I'd better struggle on alone then. Let's start with the concussion and bruising in Bay 2. Hello, I'm a doctor. I've come to examine you.
What?
I think you may be concussed. How's your vision? Can you see how many fingers I'm holding up?
Yes.
Good. Can you remember what month it is?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you know who's on the throne?
Yes.
Wonderful. Now, do you know the name of your dog?
Yes, Rover.
Oh, really? My dog's called Chips. Now then, what exactly happened to you?
Well, I'm not quite sure, really. I was sitting in my garden under an apple tree and one of the apples fell on my head and bruised me rather badly.
Yes, I can see that. Do you have any other injuries?
I think I'm fine. Stunned a bit, but otherwise fine. It did start me thinking, though.
Oh, yes. Did the thoughts seem rational? I only ask because a knock on the head can cause problems.
Oh, completely rational. I got the clear impression that the apple hadn't exactly fallen.
Oh, yes?
It seemed to have been drawn down by a mysterious force.
I see. What sort of force?
Well, by my calculation, it was drawing the apple down at an accelerating rate of 9.81 metres per second per second, although I think air friction was slowing it a little.
Did you get this impression straight away? Or does it come on gradually? I only ask because the effects of concussion can be delayed.
Straight away. It was a sort of revelation. I've been tussling with the problem for some time, but just at that moment it all became clear to me. Solid bodies attract each other.
Pardon?
The heavier an object is, the more it draws other objects to it.
What? When I walk down the hospital corridors, fat people don't draw me towards them.
The effect is not obvious with small, solid objects. You really only notice the effect when things get bigger.
It's a bit like that with concussion, then. A small tap on the head might not affect you at all, but a bigger tap, or one that hits you in the wrong way, can be significant. We won't know the gravity of your situation for a few hours.
I understand the gravity of my situation already. Gravity? Oh, thinking about it, that's just the right word for something so important. Gravity. Thank you, Doctor. I'll put it in my book.
Oh, I didn't realise you were a writer. That explains a lot. Presumably these ideas of yours are plots for a sci-fi novel.
I don't write novels.
Oh, well, perhaps you should give it a go. Half the nation is overweight. Making up stories about fat people being attracted to each other might go down well.
I don't have time for that sort of thing.
So, what is it you're writing?
It is entitled Philosophy Naturalis Principia Mathematica.
Pardon?
The English translation would be The Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. It seeks to explain the mathematics behind the world around us.
It's not a catchy title. Let me think. Mathematics, you say? How about Life is a Numbers Game? That might bring them in.
I can't really do that. All my work is in Latin.
Ah, that's a bummer. That'll be why I haven't heard of you before. I had to do a bit of Latin to understand the funny names they give parts of the body, but it didn't stretch to fiction.
I'm hoping that it will be the greatest scientific work ever written. But then, do you know, Doctor? To myself, I seem to be a little boy playing on the seashore. Now and then I find a smoother pebble or prettier shell than ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lies all undiscovered before me.
Don't let it worry you. A bang on the head can make you feel disoriented and may bring back memories of childhood. Let's see what a good night's rest can do for you. I'll prescribe some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and give you something to help you sleep. Let's see now. Who's next?
Bay 3, I think. The man who's been tortured.
Oh, yes. Good evening, sir. I'm a doctor. I've come to examine you.
Oh, no. Not more torture. I flew here from Rome to escape all that.
I didn't know you'd come so far. Let me have a look at your injuries.
The injuries are mainly intellectual, although my thumbs have been screwed.
I see the nurse has bandaged your thumbs. What else is it that's troubling you?
No one believes anything I say.
Uh-huh.
Even the Pope won't listen. I blame Copernicus. I would never have got into this mess if he hadn't spotted it.
Spotted what?
I expect you'll be like all of the rest. Oh, well, here goes. I'll try again. Our world is heliocentric.
Is that good?
It's not a question of good or bad. It's just the truth. But I've been accused of heresy.
Hearsay, eh? Have you been repeating what little Copernicus has been saying in your head without checking up on the facts?
There's a plenty of proof for heliocentricity.
Good. What is it exactly?
The Earth revolves around the Sun.
Pardon? Have you actually been outside? The Sun rises in the morning over the car park and goes down at night by the bins. It keeps going round and round us.
That's just the impression it gives. It's not true. Everybody is under an illusion.
Everybody? What, everybody but you? You're the only one who knows the truth.
And the Copernicus?
Oh, yes, I was forgetting your fictitious friend.
He's a real. The Sun comes up and goes down each day because the Earth is spinning.
Spinning? Are you sure little Copernicus hasn't made your head spin?
Listen, the point is that the Earth goes round the Sun once a year.
Are you saying the Earth visits the Sun each year? A sort of birthday treat?
What?
I should warn you that getting too close to the Sun can cause skin problems.
Excuse me, Doctor, but there are two gentlemen in cloaks and funny hats who say they're friends of Mr. Galileo and they'd like to see him. They were rather insistent. They say they've got God on their side.
Oh, no, the Inquisition. They've found me. Doctor, you must help me. I'm not going back with them.
All right, calm down. Nurse, tell the gentleman that the patient can't see anyone at the moment.
Yes, Doctor.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
Now, don't worry. I won't let anyone see you until you're ready. Let's see what a good night's rest can do for you. I'll prescribe some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and give you something to help you sleep. Oh, who's next?
The drunkard who keeps saying he used to be a monkey, in Bay 4.
Good evening, sir.
Is it?
I'm a doctor. I'm here to examine you. What seems to be the problem?
Well, there's no problem with me. There's a bunch of people out there who just don't understand me. Oh, sometimes I wish I'd never been involved with the Beagle.
Was your dog a problem, then?
What?
Never mind. Apart from not getting on with your dog, do you have any other problems?
Well, yes. Half the scientific community out there don't believe in evolution.
What do you mean?
Survival of the fittest. The gradual change of species to adapt to their environments, including man, who has evolved from apes.
Now hang on a moment. Are you saying that animals, including humans, are gradually changing?
Oh, the evidence is irrefutable.
Well, I beg to differ. I've been working here for 3 years, and all the humans I've dealt with have been the same. They haven't changed a bit. Well, thank God, I say. After all that training I've done, having to remember the names of all the bones and such like, I'd hate to think I had to throw all that away when people came in who were made differently.
Oh, but it's inevitable.
The nurse was telling me that you thought you used to be a monkey.
No, not me. The people that came before me.
That must have been tricky when you were growing up.
What?
I mean, it must have been difficult for you to learn how to talk, for instance, if your dad was a monkey.
No, he wasn't a monkey.
So your granddad was a monkey?
No, it goes back further than that.
Well, all I can say is that this hospital has been operating for more than 300 years, and there's no record of people turning up looking like monkeys.
I first noticed it in Barnacles in the Galapagos.
Oh, dear. I have to admit that's a new one on me. I haven't come across that complaint. Where exactly is the Galapagos? Is it something to do with the stomach?
No, the barnacles live on the seashore. They adapt to their environment.
Excuse me, Doctor, but they've just brought in an emergency case that needs your urgent attention.
Okay, just give me a moment. I think the best thing we can do for you is to make sure you have a good night's rest. I'll prescribe some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and give you something to help you sleep. What have we got exactly?
Some sort of flying accident. It seems he crash-landed with his son at Gatwick Airport. The ambulance chaps were worried that he might have a problem with his arm. It's difficult to tell. He's covered in feathers.
What? Anyone else injured?
Yes. Another chap crash-landed too, but I don't think he survived. I think that might have been his son.
Oh, dear. Good evening, sir. I'm a doctor. What exactly happened to you?
It should never have happened, but we had no choice. We had to take the risk. King Minos would have kept us captive in the labyrinth forever. I should never have helped Theseus escape the Minotaur.
The Minotaur?
Yes, you know, the beast Minos keeps in the labyrinth that I built for him.
Of course. Has this Minotaur been troubling you in your dreams for very long?
I'm not dreaming.
Dreams can seem quite real. I understand you've had a flying accident.
I crash-landed. I thought I must have done something to my arm, but it's okay. I'm just shaken up. The ambulance guy said it was best if I came here, but it's too late for my son.
What exactly happened?
Well, it all went so well at first. We got out of Greek airspace without being detected. But then my son Icarus did exactly what I told him not to do, and it all went pear-shaped.
Kids are like that. What exactly did he do?
He flew too near the sun.
Were you in separate aircraft?
No, we each had a set of wings.
Your own wings?
We had to get away. Building our own wings was the only way to do it, and now I've lost my son and I'll never forgive myself.
You built your own wings?
It's not too difficult if you can find enough feathers and beeswax to stick them on.
Pardon?
I told Icarus again and again, if you fly too near the sun, the beeswax will melt and the feathers will fall off. But did he listen? Oh, no. And now Icarus is dead. I should have stopped him somehow. I'll never forgive myself. By the time we reached this country, his wings were starting to break up. I think he would have made it if it hadn't been for air traffic control. We were stacked up over Tunbridge Wells to let an EasyJet flight in before us. I only just made it myself, but Icarus's wings couldn't take the stress on landing and they crumpled up.
Are you sure about all this? I'm sorry that you think your son is dead, but it seems to me that you've been in the sun too long yourself. We all have dreams about being able to fly, but you've obviously taken it far too seriously. Let's see what a good night's rest can do for you. I'll prescribe some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and give you something to help you sleep. Oh, I need coffee. Who's next?
Bay 5. They found him travelling up and down in a tram studying the town clock. The police had to drag him off, shouting about the clock and his relatives.
Good evening, sir. What seems to be troubling you?
Is this space-time continuum? It's all about the town clock.
The town clock? What? The one on the front of the town hall?
Yes, that town clock. Time is relative, you see. All you need to do is travel at the speed of light in the tram away from the clock. Then it becomes obvious.
That's a bit fast for one of our trams.
Well, the time on the clock stays the same as you look back, because you are moving at the speed of light. But the watch on your wrist moves forward in time. I'm trying to get it straight in my mind before I tell the world. It's called relativity, because everything's relative, you see.
Of course. And how long have your relatives been troubling you?
Pardon?
How did you get on with your mother, for instance?
I think she would have been very proud of me. She's dead, but who knows? With the application of this theory, we may be able to travel in time.
Of course. How long have you had these ideas?
Yes, they're not my ideas. Someone told me about them.
Ah, was that someone in your head?
No, it was the tram conductor.
The tram conductor, of course. The tram conductor put these ideas in your head about your relatives.
Yes, something like that.
So why hasn't the tram conductor told the world about it?
Well, he hasn't got the hair for it.
Hair?
He said no one would believe him because he has short hair. And he had been looking for someone on his tram who everyone would think they must be clever because they have big hair. Anyway, I'm supposed to give a big speech all about it at the international conference. And if that wasn't enough to worry about, the tram conductor landed another thunderbolt with his latest equation, E equals MC squared. He wants me to talk about it at the conference. He thinks it'll go down a bomb.
Good. Let's see what a good night's rest can do for you. I'll prescribe some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and give you something to help you sleep. No more hanging about on trams now. Who's next?
Basics.
Oh, Basics. The man you can't reason with. Bit of a theme tonight, I think. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Quite well, actually. I wanted to come into the hospital this evening to tell you that I'd found the key to life, but no one would listen to me and they sent me to A&E.
I see. Have you had any episodes like this in the past?
What do you mean, episodes?
No, sorry. I didn't mean television sitcom episodes. I'm talking about psychiatric events.
Now, listen, I have found the key to life. The thing that defines the characteristics of every living thing. It's all in the genes.
Genes? What are you talking about? How can what genes you wear have that effect?
Not genes you wear. I'm talking about little codes that define what you're like.
And where do you find those? In your gene pockets?
No, they're embedded in a molecule with a double helix.
A double helix? Well, that's novel. What exactly is a helix?
It's a spiral, and there's two of them in the molecule that intertwine with each other and define all the characteristics of life.
I'm sure you're right. You know, I rather like the idea of life being all mixed up and intertwined. Makes sense, sort of. I've never been able to get to grips with life properly myself. I stay up at night sometimes wondering what I'm going to do with myself.
Doctor, can I help?
If only people understood me better, nurse. If only I wasn't confronted with raving lunatics each day. I might be able to cope, but I can't. Yeah, I can't.
Are you all right, Doctor?
Of course I am. Of course I am. I'm a doctor. I'm paid to be all right. It's just that everyone keeps making fun of me. They're all mad, you know. I'm the only sane one here.
Perhaps you need a break. Let's see what a good night's rest can do for you. Try some anti-hallucinatory drugs to clear your head and something to help you sleep.
You have been listening to Giants of Science, written, directed and edited by Pip Rolls. Featuring Sarah Edgar as the nurse, Lindsay Crutchett as the doctor, Martin Frost as Newton, Josh Locke as Galileo, Mark Cartwright as Darwin, Lars Sawyer as Einstein, and James Turner as Crick and Daedalus. Music and sound effects courtesy of Raspberry Music and YouTube. Upstage Surrey, creating entertainment written and performed by local people for local people.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.